Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. All right. Welcome back to Ever Be.
Here we are. Get up in here.
If you're watching on Patreon right now, picture this if you're not watching. I'm trying to climb into a hammock.
One-handed because she's holding a mic in her other hand.
One-handed because we're recording from the beach.
Or as they say in Mexico, hamaca.
An hamaca is where we're sitting from. Thought it would be a fun and kind of comfy place to record. So here we are. Welcome back, Trey. It's been a while since we've had you.
I would say that it would be more comfortable if we were laying down in the hamaca.
Okay, well, let's not get too crazy. Okay. Do you want to put this under your feet? Because it's really comfy for my feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just slide it over. I got it.
Okay. Sliding.
Right, perfect.
Sliding over. Oh, this is good.
Yeah, it has been a while since I've been on the pod, so yeah. I'm happy to be back.
Give us a little life update. Where are we at? What are we doing?
Well, estamos here aquí en México porque estoy practicando y aprendiendo español. Estoy en un programa español inmersión. And that's all I'll have to say about that for now.
Wow. Can we give him a round of applause?
You did not expect that, did you?
No, I did not expect that. That was so incredible. And I didn't think you were just going to come on here and just show off your Spanish.
Oh, that wasn't really showing off. But...
Yes, it was. It was great.
But yes, we are here in Mexico. I am in a Spanish immersion program.
Oh, yeah. For all those who didn't understand what he just said.
Yeah, not everybody can hear or understands that. So Mari, if you didn't know, is Colombian, 100% Colombian, and her whole family speaks Spanish, and we want to raise our children bilingual, and I want to be able to communicate with her extended family, and it's always been part of our plan for me to learn Spanish, and I've picked up some here and there just being around Mari and her family over the years, but we just felt like it was time to just finally go and do an immersion program. So we've been in Mexico for 3 weeks. We're on the start of our fourth and final week here in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. We have exactly 1 week left from today.
Exactly 1 week left. Yeah, I know. I saw that on the calendar.
Crazy.
Yeah. And so I've been going to Spanish school every day from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then coming home and continuing to practice Spanish and doing a little Spanglish with Mari in the afternoons and obviously working every day after school as well.
And in the meantime, while Trey goes to school, I've been putting some hours in of work. So basically, like, what we've been doing is Monday through Friday, we were living in the city and then living at the beach on the weekends because his program's in the city. So that way he doesn't have to commute as far. And so then he would go to school and I would usually explore and try some new coffee shop. Work there a couple hours, and then he would come home in the afternoon. We'd eat some lunch, and then he'd get some work hours done, and then we would kind of do something in the evening, walk around, find a restaurant to eat dinner at, and then just kind of chill the rest of the evening. And this week, we're on the beach, and so I've been just having really chill days. It's been so awesome getting up, working out, spending some time praying, going on the beach, getting some good vitamin D. I'm trying to soak up all the vitamin D I can before we go back. And then putting some hours in of work in the afternoon and evening. Cause like when Trey gets home, he has to work. And so it's not his beach time.
not as much.
He's not getting as much beach time. And so then like I'm kind of saving some of my work for the afternoon too, so I'm not just sitting there next to him like, Trey, let's go play.
Yes.
Which still kind of happens.
It still kind of happens, but
I try and do my best. So let's kick it off. I'm trying to go back to my segments because I realize I keep forgetting to do my segments. So let's kick it off with an Ever Be moment.
Okay.
Yeah. So how have you seen God work in your life recently?
Well, There was an evening 2 weeks ago. It was our first week in the city and the first week of me doing the Spanish program. And it was the evening. It was the end of a great day. We had just come back from dinner and I was just sitting in the chair in our hotel room. And I was just filled with so much gratitude. So much gratitude that this is our life and that we have, the Lord has provided so much abundance and has given us like this job and to be able to be here in Mexico and still work and to be able to do a Spanish immersion program. Like, what the heck? Like, be living here in Mexico for an entire month. What?
It's very cool.
And yeah, I was just filled with so much gratitude. And just like my heart was like swelled with thanksgiving and love for you, for our life, and for God, and just his providence. And yeah, it was just a really nice moment.
Oh, I love that. My Everbe moment. Gosh, I feel like I've had a couple here, but we have a family friend out here, and the mom of the family, she works with Encounter Ministries out here in Mexico. And if you haven't heard of Encounter Ministries, it's like a charismatic Catholic ministry that helps build up disciples who want to live life in the Holy Spirit and want to use their spiritual gifts to build up the church. And so they had an event recently that was for physical healing and praise and worship and prayer. And it was so beautiful.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, we hadn't been to an event like that, I think, in a while. And when we were missionaries, we were obviously exposed to stuff like that a lot more. And we're around those kind of events and movements a lot. And since we've left, we haven't had many opportunities really besides Seek to like be in big crowds like that. And
yeah, and be with an entire church packed full of people praising the Lord and yeah, and just like on fire for their faith.
Yeah. So I really, really loved it. It was like an hour of adoration, praise and worship, all in Spanish, by the way, which I had never been to anything like this in Spanish.
And it was fuego.
It was fuego.
No, seriously, it was so fun praising and doing praise and worship in Spanish.
Trey was getting into it. He was like, Ben Espíritu Santo.
Sí.
And it was like, it was beautiful for me because Spanish is like my family's language, like my mother tongue, you know what I mean? Like, it's like for me, I only speak Spanish really with my family, so it feels very familial. It feels almost like an intimate language. Like, if we can speak Spanish, there's like a new level of intimacy, like in our relationship, because I'm like, oh, you like understand like what I grew up in, you know what I mean?
Totally.
And so to like speak to the Lord in Spanish and sing to the Lord in Spanish was like kind of a new experience for me. And usually, I'll be honest, like when we go to Spanish Mass, I feel like the Mass songs in Spanish just aren't it. They're not it for me. And they're usually very similar and just feel so old schooly. But this was like new modern Christian music meets Spanish worship. Yeah. And I hadn't heard that yet.
Yep.
So I was kind of loving it.
And it was great. And the band was awesome.
And then there was space for prayer in like the whole community that was gathered, prayed for each other and healing in different ways. And then we broke off into like smaller prayer groups if you wanted individual prayer. And the whole thing was just really moving. And
yeah, we were there for like, what, two and a half hours?
Yeah, like 3 hours, dude.
We were there for three hours.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So God's always working and it just re-inspired me to just call upon the Holy Spirit more. Mm-hmm. Like, the Lord says, like, I'm leaving so I can send you my Spirit. Yep. And he's going to give you the grace to do greater things than I did. Like,
totally.
We got to call upon him.
Yep. And if you want to call upon the Holy Spirit to give me the gift of language to learn Spanish, that's what I'm praying for. You can do that.
You can pray for that as well, you guys. Okay, well, let's jump into the topic of the day. We're doing Q&A and answering assumptions.
Okay,
people
great.
Have of us.
I had no idea what we were doing today. You just gave me the mic, so
that's what
I
we're
have
doing
not seen
today.
These questions and or assumptions.
Yep. And I feel like it's maybe been a while since we did it. And these are always fun. So that's what we're doing today. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. All right, a lot of questions. I'm going to just shout out a bunch of them right now.
Are these questions or are these assumptions?
There's both.
Okay.
Okay, let's just see. I'm going to like shout a bunch out and then Trey, you can tell me like if any stand out to you that you want to answer.
Okay.
How long did you date before you got engaged? Tips for intentional time together with busy schedules. We love you guys. Oh, so sweet. Do you ever get annoyed constantly having to film your life / the cost of living a public life? Mm. I would love to answer this. What does your husband do for work?
Yeah.
Wedding registry necessities. How is NFP going? I'm getting married this year and I'm overwhelmed by it. Recent Catholic convert and so glad I came across Everbe. Yay. Do men experience interest in crushes the same way girls do? If so, why don't they act on it? An assumption is you don't own a home yet. You guys had to learn how to do finances together. A question of, I feel so discouraged finding a Catholic community. What is your advice? Someone asking, do you mind sharing an update on all the fertility work you're doing? Prayers for both of you. There's actually a lot of requests for fertility update. How to find good Catholic friends as a married couple. An aspiring entrepreneur here. What is your plan with running a business and having kids? How are you both dealing with living with uncertainty with kids? I've noticed lots can't cope with uncertainty. So how has waiting and not having control over this changed your relationship with God and your marriage? Great questions.
Yeah, honestly, I'm impressed. There are some good questions
thoughtful questions, not
just your like standard questions that we've answered.
How do you know he's the one? Although I love
that. Okay, great. So where do we start? You just want to start like, I think I want to get through as many of these as we can. So I think we should just kind of rapid fire. Like we can spend a little bit longer on some of them, but
okay. Funny, there was only two assumptions. I'm kind of surprised.
Some of these we can just rapid fire, I feel like.
Okay, while you pick a question, rapid fire assumptions. Yes, we do own a home. And yeah, we did have to learn how to do finances together, but also it wasn't very hard because we were just out of college, yeah. So we didn't really have a finance plan for life.
We didn't really have monies before so, we got married. So it was
so
all,
being married made it easier on
honestly,
me.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah. No, it was great because we learned it together.
Yeah. All right, pick a question.
Okay, I mean, some of these quick ones. How long did you date before we got married? A year and a half dating and a year and a half engagement. And then we got married.
Mm-hmm.
We just celebrated 5 years of marriage and 8 years of knowing each other. Or 8 years of dating each other in like a week.
In like a week. It'll be exactly 8 years.
8 years dating. Of knowing or dating each other, yeah. Because we're still dating. Tips for intentional time together with busy schedules.
Yup. Find time for connection.
Yes, we've been
it's
talking
a big
about
topic
this, yeah.
in our marriage.
Yep.
First thing that comes to mind is protect your meal times. Like at least dinners, if you can. We obviously have the same job, so we end up eating like all meals together.
We
but
both
if
work
you
from home, but yeah.
if you work different jobs or don't see each other throughout the day, if you could do both breakfast and dinner, at the very least dinner together, I feel like that's a really great way to start. And don't, if you don't get to see a lot of each other during the day, don't throw the TV on. Don't be scrolling. Don't have laptops open. Don't have any distractions during those meal times. Just have it be like FaceTime you get with your spouse where you actually get to hear from each other and actually talk about your life and how you're doing and stuff.
Yeah, that's a great, great suggestion. I would also say before you get into bed at night, or like when you get into bed, I would try to plan your bedtime so that you are not dead tired, or like you're not falling asleep on the couch, so that then you actually have the energy to spend at least 5 minutes chatting before you go to sleep.
And with that, like go to bed at the same time. Yeah. I actually think there's a lot of couples who don't go to bed at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually kind of
pretty normal,
common for people.
Yeah.
So my advice would be go to bed at the same time, unwind together. And naturally when you're unwinding, you can do that with your spouse and spend time together. One last thing outside of that, plan at the very least a monthly date night and put it on the calendar on the date, like the number date of your anniversary. So you remember it easily.
Yeah.
And then it happens every month and it's on the calendar.
Yep. Okay. What does your husband do for work? That's me. I'm the husband. And I do West Coast Catholic. So I run the majority of the business side, the shop side of West Coast Catholic.
Like, let me just say something. Like, everybody thinks West Coast Catholic and they think like my face probably, right? Like, maybe, I've been the face of West Coast Catholic for a long time. It's a women's brand.
Yep.
And I think if people really know about like us and what we do, they know you're heavily involved, but a lot of people don't.
No. Yeah.
Trey runs West Coast Catholic. Mm-hmm. Like, this business would not be anywhere without Trey. He does more than I do at this point. Like, he is West Coast Catholic.
Yeah, well, thank you.
So that's what he does.
Well,
and then helps me with absolutely everything else that I do.
So we started West Coast Catholic together. So I was from the beginning just as much involved as Mari. And then about 2 years ago, Mari started focusing more on her social media and her personal Instagram. And I took over pretty much all operations of the business. I've always was doing it.
And management, team management.
Yeah, all operations, team management, manufacturer relations, product development, finances, the whole thing. And then we obviously have a team. But yeah, that's what I do.
Then
I help Mari with all of her tech or operational things with her business and strategy with her business.
Big IT guy for sure.
I would not say I'm a big IT guy, but I've learned along the way.
Guy.
Do you ever get annoyed constantly having to film your life?
That would be a question for me.
Yes.
I would say yes and no. I would say like there's definitely been seasons. I've been making content for 8 years now and sharing about my life for 8 years. And so it's kind of crazy because at this point, it's the majority of my adult life.
Sure. Wow.
So I'm used to it. And if I didn't love it, I wouldn't be doing it. And so I do love it. I love sharing about our life. I love sharing about the faith, God-centered marriage, Christ-centered living, homemaking. And I don't know if you guys have maybe noticed or not, but I think over the past few years, like when you're first starting out in content creation, you're figuring out a lot of stuff out. In the past few years, I've kind of started to notice what are parts or details or areas of my life that I'm actually not willing to share publicly, and then what am I? And that gave me so much more freedom to feel like I don't have to film every single part of my life. There's actually a lot that you don't see behind the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
so that's given me freedom to know like, what am I not sharing? What am I sharing? And usually what I am sharing, I genuinely want to share and I'm excited to share about. But sure, like any job, there's burnout. Like any job, it gets old sometimes. And there's just seasons where like, seasons where you're like, oh gosh, like I don't really feel like taking my phone out all the time and recording myself. And I've given myself a lot more grace to take kind of a step back from posting as consistently or being hard on myself about sharing XYZ. So I've learned a lot of just flexibility with how social media has changed, how I feel about it, what I feel like is prudent and responsible to share while still keeping a lot of value and valuable content for our community. So
yes. And follow-up question to that.
Yeah.
What is the cost of living a public life?
Yeah.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Or is there one?
Yeah, no, there definitely is a cost. And
I mean, you're just opening yourself up to
commentary
on your life and people's opinions.
Yes, you're opening yourself up to commentary and people's opinions. And I will say one thing. I think the Lord. So non-toxic skincare and makeup and the clean beauty world is kind of blowing up right now. I feel like everyone's talking about it. But if we're being honest, I know it can feel super overwhelming because you want cleaner ingredients, but you don't know what brands you can trust. So you're like, where do I even start? Or maybe you've already tried a clean makeup brand before, and an hour later you looked in the mirror and thought, why did this already melt off my face? I have been there, okay? For a long time, I wanted non-toxic products that actually worked, that stayed on, that looked good, and didn't feel like I was compromising my health. And honestly, I lost all hope in clean beauty until I found Crunchy, I think like almost 3 years ago now. I absolutely love Crunchy for this reason. Their skincare and makeup are genuinely non-toxic. They are of the highest tier of non-toxic standards that you can find. No endocrine disruptors, no synthetic fragrances, no sketchy ingredients. nothing that will cause cancer, but they still perform beautifully. Their makeup lasts, their skincare feels luxurious, and it actually supports your skin and your hormone health instead of fighting against it, right? Like, why would we want to fight against our body with our beauty products? That's just not right. So I can truly share from experience that I have been using their skincare and makeup for years and haven't looked back once. I've used makeup in weddings, and I use their skincare literally every day, and my skin has literally never been better. If you want to try Clean Beauty this year and get started on your non-toxic journey, Crunchy makes it really easy to start. They have actually increased their new client discount to 15% off and free shipping, which is their best offer yet. And this applies to any new clients that have an order of over $50, which it's really easy to get there. So if you've been wanting to clean up your routine without feeling overwhelmed or disappointed, this is a great place to begin. You can shop Crunchy through the link in my show notes and get 15% off your first order plus free shipping when you use my link and the code advocate15. Knows what everyone can handle, right? And I'm actually extremely shocked at the little amount of hate and intrusivity that I get on my account in comparison to so many people that I know. I don't know why.
Great job, you guys.
So thanks for just being so amazing is what I'm saying. Like, that comes down to my community. You guys are genuinely solid, great quality people. Thank you. Maybe I'm not posting controversial enough content, which I don't care, man. Like, that's fine with me. But that's helped me a lot to like not want to get off social media. I know a lot of people want to get off all the time because the more you share your life, the more people comment on it. And that there has been a little bit of that here and there.
Of course, yeah.
And I think another aspect that's hard too, and I think once we have kids in the future, we'll be navigating even more too. It's just kind of like, wow. It's going with what I was just saying. Like, how much do you want to be sharing? What are all the details you want to be sharing? So you just have to be more cognizant about what you're posting on social media. Whereas a regular person whose life isn't public, you don't think twice about what you post. Yep. You're just like, I want to share this with my friends and family. So I post it. But now we live in a dark world where nobody can share pictures of their families with their kids because people do really creepy things with the pictures of their kids. And so now I have to think about like, gosh, when we have kids, like I want to share content of our kids and show pictures and everything, but like, is that responsible or not? You know? So it just comes with an extra layer of discernment and being prudent with what you're sharing.
Okay, great. Good answer, Mari.
Thanks.
Rapid fire this one. Wedding registry necessities.
Put the expensive stuff on your registry.
Yeah.
I think 100%. A lot of people shy away from that because they feel bad. They're like, oh, like, I don't want to make people feel like they have to buy the expensive thing or like I'm asking for the expensive thing. Like, no, put it on your registry.
Well, and like they have complete freedom to choose whatever is on your registry. Like they don't have to buy
it. Exactly. What I'm saying is like, put it on your registry. If someone doesn't want to buy the $400 item or the $300 item, they won't.
I mean, don't put only $500 items on your registry, but like have some variety. But yes, don't shy away from just putting stuff on there. Like we put stuff on our registry. We're like, we have no expectation. Like nobody's going to ever buy this for us. And then like somebody bought it and we were like, what? Thank goodness
all the most expensive stuff on our registry got purchased.
Yeah.
Like the KitchenAid and a mattress. And I don't even know what the other things were. I know there were a couple things on there that were like $500 plus and like, they purchased it and we didn't expect it to, but we're like, we're going to throw it up just in case.
Yeah. So,
it was awesome.
So a mattress.
Mattress, definitely.
Like we didn't, I mean, we were just college students. We didn't have a mattress. So we threw a mattress on there and someone got it for us.
Yeah.
Espresso machine.
Oh, definitely.
Get a nice
must.
One. Get a Breville.
Frame TV.
Oh, yes. A frame TV.
Frame TV
is
so fire.
It's a great one. That's a fire one.
The Beast Blender. I love the Beast Blender.
That's an Amazon. Yeah. You can get off another
and then
too.
Get the fun things you're
KitchenAid.
Not going to buy yourself. I already said KitchenAid.
Oh.
Did I?
You just said that. That was an example as one of the things that we
100%
put.
Get yourself a KitchenAid or put a KitchenAid on there.
Super nice pans. Like super,
really
super
nice pans.
I would just
really
say like
nice knives.
Super nice kitchen equipment. So knives, pans, nice plates and like, what's it called?
Serving platters.
No, like.
Silverware?
Just like glassware. And then what's the equivalent for plates?
Just. Plates.
Plates and bowls.
Dishes.
Dishes. Or like dishware. I don't know.
Dishware.
Anyways, I would say like put like nice dishware and plates and serving platters.
And then put the fun stuff that you're not going to buy yourself but you can use for date nights and for hosting. This is obviously coming from a couple who loves to cook and host, because we've mentioned like 90% kitchen things. But like what's it called? Fondue pot and pasta maker.
Pasta makers.
Two things that we put on our registry.
Or it's like a pasta roller slash cutter.
It's called a pasta maker. But we put that on our registry and it's been so fun. One of our go-to double date nights that I highly recommend when you're a newlywed couple is to make fresh pasta together. It's so easy.
It's way easier than you think.
Way easier than you think. And the pasta maker makes it so easy to roll out the pasta and cut the pasta. And it's such a fun activity to get to know another couple. So we've used that one so many times.
And it's nice because you're like doing an activity. So you're not like forced to just like make conversation the whole time, especially if it's somebody that you don't know very well. The other one I was going to say is a griddle. We use a griddle very often.
All the time.
Yeah. Okay. How's NFP going? I'm getting married this year and overwhelmed by it. I freaking love NFP. I'm just like, when I...
It's funny because I was just about to say, we don't like in our situation, like we don't have NFP anymore.
Well, we, in the traditional sense, like in like, oh, like the traditional Creighton or Marquette method.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not like doing that exclusively, but, I love learning about it. And I've heard this story from other men as well, that they loved like being a part of the class and learning about this. I've heard it from multiple men that they've really enjoyed it. And that was my experience as well. And so
because
it gives men so much more understanding into the woman's body and their health and what's going on and their hormones and like their health, their hormones, like that is like largely affecting a huge part of their experience. And that then in turn affects like your marriage. And it's incredible to be able to like understand
just like where she's coming from,
where she's coming from, but also like how to best love your wife in the different parts of her cycle. And it was cool to just like know, okay, like if you, once you learn it, you can know with certainty, like when or when not to, like when, she's ovulating. So you know, if you're not to have a baby. So practically, it was also very practical when to have a baby. Yeah. So I would say if you're overwhelmed, I think that's normal. I think it's a lot of information. We were lucky that we had a really good, I don't know what you call it, practitioner.
She's called a Creighton practitioner.
Creighton practitioner.
She's incredible. Melissa Grace Tablada. We'll make sure to link her in the show notes.
So you definitely need a really good one. I've known people or I've heard from people who they just go to like a one like group class and they just feel like so confused and overwhelmed by it. I would definitely pay the money to have like one-on-ones with the practitioner so that you can
We really booked her full package and we met with her once a month.
For like a year.
And yeah. I think out of anybody I knew, I felt the most confident on how to track my cycle because I was being followed up with every single month for like a year from when we got engaged to like into us being married. And so it was really great to have someone like walking with you and answering your questions. So it's a little bit expensive, but guys, it's so worth it. And like we spend thousands of dollars on wedding stuff. Like this is worth the investment.
Definitely. Anything else? I said a lot about that. Do you as a woman have anything you wanted to
say? No, I love what you had to say.
Okay.
The only thing I would say with that is just that it gets easier. Like once you do it every single day, it gets easier.
Do men experience interests, crushes the same way girls do? If so, why don't they act on it? That's a funny question. Yes, definitely. I mean, I don't, of course.
Well,
I just crush on my wife every day.
Well, but like, no, think back to like before you were married, right?
Right.
So like I'll give the girls experience and you tell me whether that's how you experienced
it. Okay, got
it. Okay.
I got it like that.
Girl has a crush, sees a boy in class and is like, oh my gosh, he's super cute. Tries to kind of like steal looks throughout like class to kind of make sure like that he is cute. And every time she looks, she's like, oh my gosh, wait, yeah, he is super cute. Like, I hope he's noticing me. Is he noticing me? Like, how does my hair look? Like, I hope I have a cute outfit on today. Like, maybe he'll talk to me after class. Like, is there a way I could maybe talk to him? Drops pencil. He picks it up behind her and is like, oh, you dropped your pencil. And she's like, yes. Point of contact. then you leave class and you're like thinking about him all day. You're like, oh my gosh, like he was super cute. Like, I wonder if I have any other classes with him. Like, when am I going to see him again? Like, is he friends with anybody I know? Like, and then you start talking to your friends about it and you're like, okay, I have to tell you about this guy in my class. Like, oh my gosh. And you start telling your friends about it. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I would say the guys have the exact same experience with one third of the thoughts and one third of the words to experience, to describe it.
Okay, fair.
But I would say the experience is the same. They're very, very similar. Like, guys definitely notice women. They definitely, like, try to steal looks. They definitely, like, try to, like, place themselves in similar situations or near them. They definitely get nervous trying to talk to them. They definitely, like, think about them when they're out with them. Oh, yeah. So it's the same. I would say it's the same.
So then the second half of the question is, why don't they act on it?
So, and so this is where...
This would just pertain to men who don't act on it, because there are men that do. But if a guy's not acting on it, why do you think that is?
I mean, one, I would probably say it's just either insecurity, they're just timid, they're afraid, they have had poor experiences in the past that makes them more scared to do it in the future.
Maybe they think you're out of their league.
Maybe you're out of their league. Maybe they don't think that you're going to reciprocate the feeling. Like, I would say it's pretty much all the same reasons.
Fear.
All the same reasons that a woman wouldn't, like, want to make the first move is, like, the same reasons a guy doesn't want to make the first move. Like, it's just fear. So, fear of rejection.
Yeah.
Let's see. I feel so discouraged finding a Catholic community. Any advice? The advice is create it. Like, you can look all you want, but if there isn't one, then you just got to be the one to create it. Sorry.
But that's like, so true.
But like, you just, some people have to be the ones to create it. And Mari and I have so learned true. This. It's like, we would sit around and wait for invitations and they don't come. And so then we just had to be the ones to invite people. Yep. We have to create the community.
Yep. Like, literally within our first year of moving to Colorado, we started a marriage group. I started a Bible study and we started hosting monthly dinners. That was in our third year living there.
And yeah.
But like, we extended a lot of invitations in between.
Yep.
And we kind of just stopped waiting for invitations to come and went out and found the people that we connected with here and there and then brought them together. So like, all the girls in my Bible study didn't actually have a relationship beforehand. Maybe some like knew of each other. Maybe some were friends, but actually like most of them didn't have a relationship with each other and certainly not as a group. But I had just connected with them over the course of like a year and a half individually. And I made an invitation to bring them all together.
And now they're all my favorite people. Let's just bring them all together.
And now they're all friends. And now they like do stuff together, which is fun.
Yeah. So it's hard. But yeah, you can't just wait for things to come to you. You have to go make the thing happen. I don't know what else I was going to say.
I mean, but also like check with your parish if there's some sort of young adult group.
Oh, of course.
And really it just starts with one person and it just takes time. You find one friend, they are bound to have another friend that could fit in the group. And then they're bound to have another friend. And so it's just kind of slowly meeting mutuals.
You just have to put yourself out there and be willing to invite yourself to things and invite other people to things.
Yeah.
Okay. An inspiring entrepreneur here. What is your plan with running a business and having kids?
Great question.
We're lucky because we do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have an awesome setup, I think.
I think
so. And I hope, because we're both going to be at home.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both going to be slightly available and flexible. But our current plan, not even like experiencing kids yet, so it obviously could shift, is that I'm going to go down to part-time work. Trey will stay full-time. So I'm going to be mostly with the kids. And in order for me to be able to do part-time, we're likely going to hire a nanny / like family assistant. Mm-hmm. And so this person will probably take the kids for a couple hours, a few days a week, and allow me to have some time to work and then also help with some home chores. Honestly, like my goal would be for this person to clean our kitchen and do the dishes every morning after breakfast and then like prep the lunch for us to be ready during lunchtime, spend a couple hours with the kids, maybe even do some errands like shipping returns or groceries, stuff like that. I literally think there is no shame in getting help for household tasks or day-to-day things. And I think that a lot of people feel like, oh, that's really snobby of you to like outsource your grocery shopping or like have someone help you prep lunch. Like, no, honestly, it's just, I know what is it within my capabilities, where, what is my time allow me to do? And I rather spend the extra time that I have with my kids than doing dishes.
Yep.
And if we have the ability and means to have a nanny come in and support with some childcare inside the home, so we don't have to do daycare, and then well, even and so that we, things,
and so that like you're able to work, which is providing the income.
Well, that's the only reason we were getting it is so I'm able to work. Exactly. And for us, it's like we own our own businesses. Like I'm an integral part of our businesses,
right.
And I love what I do. Like if I had a regular 9-to-5, I'd probably quit and be a stay-at-home mom. Because I'm dying to be a mom. But like, because I absolutely love what we do and I'm so passionate about all of our businesses, like I love work. So I hope to work part-time and then mom the rest of the time.
Mom most time.
Honestly, it is. Like working just what, like a couple hours a day on a few days a week. And then mom, most of the time. But obviously when kids come,
we'll see what happens.
It's going to be like learning to balance it all and
yep.
see what's working for our family. But
and I will just say,
and my parents are hopefully moving to Colorado.
Hopefully. Yep.
So I, really
we'll have, and my parents are near us. And so it'll be, we'll have a lot of help.
Yeah.
The other thing too, is we've been very strategically running the business and creating processes and systems and people so that Mari can go part-time. Like we've known this for a long time that we've wanted her to go part-time when we've had kids, and you know, we haven't been blessed or had kids yet, but it's allowed us to have a little bit more time to make the hiring decisions and to like outsource the activities that need to be outsourced or to create more processes in the business so that it's possible. So we've been planning for this for a while.
Yeah. Okay, last thing to end on is I feel like a little fertility update.
Sure.
So I've been working with my doctor for about a year now and trying different things.
The current doctor for about
My current doctor. Yeah. I switched doctors a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things, and you may or may not have noticed, I don't share the details of the medical journey. Like a lot of people go online and they share exactly what they're dealing with. And I think that is super helpful for women who are going through the same thing to kind of learn about it. Right now in this moment of our journey, I don't share the medical details of what we're doing and what the results are and what we're finding. Maybe I will in the future one day, but I don't feel like that's where the Lord is giving me peace right now. So I'm not going to share specific details of what we're doing or finding, but I've been working with my doctor for the past year, and I will share, like, we were doing some hormone work and like things were improving, largely supporting it with natural diet stuff. Biggest thing that I've seen make a difference is cutting out as much sugar as possible and bad carbs. So do your research into that if this is something you're struggling with, and ask your doctor about it. But it's crazy the impact sugar and bad carbs
and
has.
Just your diet has. Like, it was pretty fast how quickly we're able to see the impact
results
and the
just
like, benefits
literally
of cleaning up the diet
in a month
and removing sugar.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely hope, and our doctor has never said that we're not able to have children. Like, she has a lot of hope for us, and there's more things that we can try. But we do have a podcast episode coming up pretty soon where we're going to dive a little bit more into depth of fertility updates that we do want to share about. So that'll be coming soon. And
yeah, so stay tuned for
I'll
that.
I'll leave you with that. Now,
right.
I don't feel like we're going to do an Ever Be Answers because this whole episode was...
Yeah, I
think
that's
be answers.
Think that's great.
So that's that. And we'll catch everybody who's on the Kingdom Club at the after party. And if you're watching, you can see the cute little Kingdom Club hat that I have on. So if you want to see what that's all about, join our Patreon. You can click the link in the show notes to join. You get to see the video of every single one of these episodes. And then join the after party, which is where Trey and I answer a couple more questions just for our Kingdom Club listeners.
And a monthly live Bible study with yours
truly,
Mari. Oh my
gosh.
Right.
That's like the biggest selling point. You get a monthly live Bible study that I lead every month. And it's actually so fun, you guys. Like, and it's fun because at this point, it's a consistent group of girls that are coming. So we all kind of get to know each other a little bit more, get to hear about each other's lives, get to pray for each other. Within the Bible study, we have prayer partners. So every month you get paired with another girl and you can connect with her and share your prayer intentions for the month. And it's been awesome. I just like love ministering to you guys in real time. So to everybody who is in the Kingdom Club, thanks for supporting. Thanks for showing up. And I hope to see so many more of you there. Now, that's all we got for now. The sun is coming down and it's probably really darkness. Dark right now. So,
all right. See ya.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.